Once again, a warm welcome to those who are able to join us online. Let us turn our Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, as our chairman has already read the verses to us, and our focus is on verse 17. And so here in this chapter 6 of the book of John, we read firstly of a very happy event, a time of spiritual learning for the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ through a very wonderful and great or rather glorious day of feeding the multitude. Everyone who had a share in this ministry was highly honored and blessed as the Lord Jesus carried out this miracle of feeding the 5,000. However, did you notice something? Did you notice the sudden and strange transition from that mountaintop spiritual feeding and blessedness, witnessing a very mighty miracle that testified to the power of the Lord Jesus? The disciples were then suddenly brought down to the valley of solitude, darkness, winds, waves, storm, anxiety, and danger. Danger to their life. The change was drastic, isn't it? From mountaintop and then suddenly to the valley. The very same man who had been rejoicing with joy unspeakable and with this being fed with physical manner as well as spiritual manner through the divine power of their master. Now the disciples are left to endure that which is very sad, a sad experience for anyone to have. Everything became dark and Jesus was not there. And we read here, and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum, and it was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. Is this not true? Does this not illustrate our lives too? While for us Christians living in this world, there are times of joy and gladness and joy unspeakable. And then suddenly we too, from time to time, we are brought low. We are brought into darkness. Yes, true. There are often, these are often time, if we examine our own hearts in the light of scripture, that often this time of darkness, this season of going through the valley, most of the time is our own doing. Most of the time is our foolishness and our impatience with the Lord. And so I'm going to speak concerning the condition of men and women, boys and girls, described in our text. It was now dark and Jesus was not come to them. Darkness without Christ. First, I shall speak of the affliction of Christ absent. The affliction of Christ absent. Secondly, I'm going to touch on some consolation or comforts under it. Comforts and consolation, even while Christ is away from us. And then thirdly, I shall bring up the terrible condition of this darkness. So first then, the affliction of Christ absent. And this suggests to us the affliction of Christ's absence. It was indeed a great affliction for these disciples to have Christ away from them at all. Wherever he was, they were as sheep, wherever he was away, they were as sheep without a shepherd, and as soldiers without a leader. But for him to be away when they were at sea in the dark, when they were at sea in a storm, all this made it much worse for them. For although we always need Jesus, yet more peculiarly we recognize the value of Jesus' presence with us when we can derive no comfort and safety from anything else. Christ's absence was in itself an affliction to his disciples, and we owe it to affliction to have Jesus absent from us. The Lord Jesus knows best, and he sovereignly appointed this spiritual exercise, or to put these disciples through this time of darkness, which is why David on hindsight says in Psalm 119 verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Psalm 119 verse 71. Those of us who are true members of the body of Christ, we do not feel any sorry that Jesus is absent. A person who has never tasted pure water, but had always had to drink some foul water, would not sigh or would not long for the cooling spring, because he had never known its tastiness, its sweetness. There is no poverty in this world so dire as the poverty of those who have been rich. Indeed, if you have been rich and enjoying life, per se, and you have this buying power, so to speak, you will not have to worry. But when all these are taken from you, and you go into a state of poverty, is it not true? Then you will understand far better what exactly is poverty. And so those who know the value of the Lord Jesus, and in his absence, those who have enjoyed his presence, his preciousness, by dwelling in his presence, those are the people who will know what it is to have Jesus away from them. If your love to the Lord Jesus is turning chill, you will not miss him much. But if you have been enjoying continual fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and he departed from you only for a little while, you would have begun to sigh and cry and have this longing in your heart. And you look for that the Lord Jesus will come back to you again. And it is the same like a child. When either father or mother is away, and the child feels it when fathers and mothers are not with them. To those who intensely love the Lord Jesus, it is in itself an affliction to be without the Savior, the Lord Jesus. And it is an affliction in proportion as to their love for him. Reflect on this regularly, brethren. Reflect on this regularly. The absence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus is away from you. This man, they were put to many inconveniences by Christ's absence. To be without the Savior make the darkness seems all the darker. If Christ be in the boat with them, I do not think that it matters much whether the sun will shine or not, or whether they are going through this storm, because they know that Jesus is with them, going together with them in the storm. And we shall see Christ by his own light. And then we will rejoice in that brighter light, what we might not have seen had the sunlight still shine upon us. You all know what it is to be in the dark or to be in darkness. You know that feeling. You know that state of darkness is not very comfortable, not very pleasant. That, however, there is another kind of darkness, dear friends, which is described as mental darkness. Those who are in mental darkness are disturbed, perplexed, worried, troubled. However, if you examine it deeper, it may be nothing tangible. You could not write down your thoughts or your troubles. It may be that you really have no trouble at all. It is just an imagination, or perhaps it is just a feeling that you feel trouble, but you feel the trouble and dismay. Other people may say that you are nervous or that you are unrest, and they blame and they say to you that you ought not to give yourself into this manner or this kind of attitude or spirit. That's what they think. Have any one of you ever been in that condition? Troubled, heavy in your heart? Yet at the same time, when you look at it carefully, it may not be so, but yet there is this burden on you. This something is somehow weighing heavy on your mind. If you have, and if Jesus has not come to you, then I'm sure you have felt it very hard, and you have greatly long and needed the Lord Jesus' presence to be with you. Another part of the affliction the disciples went through here was their work or their toil. It became very wearisome to them. They were rowing, and they had to row their boats far, or rather they have rowed their boat far from shore. But it was a very wearisome work in Christ's absence. The Lord Jesus was not there to strengthen them, to encourage them, to direct them in the right way or the right path to reach shore. It was pitch darkness out at sea without the Lord Jesus to help them. It is likewise for us, the Christian, particularly those who are engaged in Christian service. If Christ be with you, then it will be a blessed work. For example, to teach in the Sunday school or to preach in the congregation and going about to share the gospel to others, it will not be so burdensome or troublesome if Jesus is with us. But if the Lord's presence be withdrawn from us, then you will feel that you must do all these things from a sense of duty, and you will do it, and you will have to have the nerve or to encourage yourself to persevere with the task. And it is hard and trying work. Worst of all, when Jesus is away, all troubles and dangers seems to become more terrible, more intense. And indeed, we know from outside of scripture, many boats has perished on the Sea of Galilee. And so it is also for the Christian. Many Christians who turn away from the Lord Jesus have been shipwrecked. 1 Timothy 1:19. If Jesus had been with his disciples on that stormy night, if he had been awake to speak to them, to cheer them, they would have rejoiced to see that though the boat go up and down through the waves and the storm, yet they would be assured, isn't it, that they are safe in the arms of Jesus, that the Lord Jesus will do all things well for them, for his own glory. Perhaps by now some of you may think to yourself, this life, living this life as a Christian believer, is a hard life. It's a hard life to be a Christian. Indeed it is. And this is already exemplified in the life of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, that before he ascended into heaven to wear his crown of glory, he has to wear the crown of thorns. He has to go through the cross. There are many saints of whom we read in the Word of God, in the Bible, who were precious in the sight of God, but among them all, you ask, you try to search it, where do you find one who was not tried or who was not tested, who was not afflicted? Do you find any disciples in the Bible, whether in the Old Testament and the New Testament, who was not tried by the Lord, who was not afflicted? And I have to ask you, and I have asked you this before. You want to be a Christian? Think again. Think again. I would advise you to reckon that somewhere between here and heaven, somewhere before you meet the Lord Jesus in heaven, you will have to realize the truth of that saying of the Apostle Paul when he says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Consider this soberly. Then we come secondly. I want to mention that there is consolation in Christ being absent. The consolation in Christ absent. Can it be? Can there be encouragement of help when Jesus is away from us, the Christian believers? The first consideration I would like to mention here is this. Brethren, perhaps it may not really be as you think it is. You say that Christ is absent from you. It seems that the Lord Jesus is away from you. But possibly, he is not. Perhaps you have not really lost his presence. I know from the Bible that Jesus was very near to Peter when that look from the Lord Jesus made the sinful Peter who denied Christ to go out and wept bitterly. I think that the presence of Christ may sometimes tend to breed in us a certain holy sorrow or grief, which, though not so sweet, yet as precious as holy joy itself. So perhaps you are not in a right state of body or in a right mental condition to get joy and happiness from the presence of Christ. At any rate, if Jesus were not there, your spirit would have sunk much lower than it does now. Sad as you are, you would have been much sadder if it had not been for the divine influence of his Holy Spirit to uphold you or to support you. You might have fallen into despair, but you have not come to that condition yet. And it is because Jesus' left hand is under your head that although you do sing low, you do not sing lower still. You might have been utterly overwhelmed if it had not been for Jesus' support, which have given you to keep you where you are. So it may be that Christ is really with you, although you are in such a state of darkness and mourning his absence. If Jesus is indeed absent from you, there is one thing to comfort you, brethren, and that is this, that you have not driven him away by your sins. Yet you have not driven him away by your sins. The children of Israel was in such a terrible condition. Why? The prophet Isaiah provides the answer. He says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59 verse 2. Therefore, if you are conscious that you have been living in some known sin, then may I urge you to go and bitterly repent of your sin before God. If you have grieved the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, and driven him away from you, listen to the voice which says, "Return, ye backsliding children." But for those who think or felt that they have lost the presence of Jesus, of Christ, these whose conscious joy has departed, if you have really honestly examined your own hearts in the light of the Bible, in the light of Scripture, and you are not aware that there has been anything or any sin which separate you from your God, then, brethren, if you are in such a state, sin has not separated you from God, then you may be comforted to know that the Lord Jesus, in his wise counsel, has sent you to see and leave you there for a moment, according to his sovereign appointment, so as to do you much good, to leave you there out in the sea for a moment in that moment of darkness. If that be so, let it be. Submit and surrender to Christ your Lord. If that is his design for you, then so be it. You will bless the rod of affliction, and even in the dark, you will believe that all is well for you. And just as a child, when he or she is put to bed without a candle, must not cry, but must go to sleep, so you will not weep, but bow submissively to whatever your Lord Jesus has ordained for you. Recall also, brethren, that although you cannot see Jesus, do you realize this? And he is not with you, though you cannot see Jesus and he is not with you, he knows where you are. You cannot see him, but he can see you. The Lord Jesus, who is omniscient, he knows all about you and the circumstances you are in. That wave, that storm may come over, right over you, and to wet your whole body then to your skin. Yes, but Christ, who is God, knew every drop that was in it, and just where each drop would fall. Christ is not ignorant of the condition of any one of his blood-bought children. And if he has put you in a position or a time of trial and affliction, be assured, he himself watches over you with a tender and sympathetic eye, and he knows exactly your danger and your needs. Again, the prophet Isaiah says to the Christian believers, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Isaiah 43 verse 2. Christ is with you, even as you go through deep waters and go through the fire. Also in the New Testament, in Matthew 10:29, I read to you, "Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father," meaning to say, without his knowledge or his permission. "Not one sparrow shall fall to the ground without the Father knowing and without the Father's approval. Matthew 10:30, "But the very hairs of your head are all numbered." Verse 31, Fear ye not, therefore. Ye are, or you are, of more value than many sparrows. And more than that, brethren, our Lord Jesus Christ not only knows where you are and all about your circumstances and love you and feels for you, but he can come to you. He can come to all of us. No matter how far out you are at sea, no matter how far out you are at sea, he can and he will come to you, for we read in the passage that Jesus did come to his disciples. He came walking on the water, and so he reached them, and he will come to you also, my dear friends. Though he may tarry a little while for the testing of your faith, for the building up of your faith, for the increase of your faith, he may tarry for a little while or delay his coming for a little while, but he will come. He will come before long. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, even when it is dark with you, the clear light of the Lord Jesus will come to you before long. So be of good cheer, for Jesus, my Lord, will come to you even when it is all dark around you. And then one final point before we wrap up in closing, and that is this: the terrible condition of darkness. And in this last point, I think you may guess it, that I want to use this text to speak to those whose souls are still outside of the kingdom of God, to those whose physical body may be in the church, but whose souls are outside of the fold of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, your condition may be described in those words of the Apostle Paul when he says, without Christ, without Christ. Is that your condition? That is one of the saddest things that can be said of anyone, without Christ. Possibly, you say that you do not see any sadness in your present condition. Sure, as I said this morning too, that many do not see the need of the Lord Jesus, do not see the need of having Jesus to be with them, because it is not darkness to them. They are in the best of health. They have all that they wanted. Everything is going in smoothly in the way that they want to. You are in good health and the world is bright and life seems to be one continual dance to you. And it is true that Jesus has not come to you yet. But again, the truth is that you do not want him. It is not that Jesus do not want to come to you, but it is you who reject him. You think that you can do very well without him. But one of these days, dear friends, one of these days, and it may come soon, it will be very dark all around you. And it is a very terrible condition for any person when it is dark and Jesus does not come to you. Some of you have been prospering in worldly matters, and God has blessed you indeed with many temporal goods. But that condition may change. Reverses may come sooner than you think. And what will you do then without Christ when you're in such a state of darkness? What will you do then without Christ? But there is something worse than that. It may be that your worldly business and all your worldly affairs may continue to prosper, and you are doing very well, and you continue to do very well. But there may come to you a mental trouble, mental darkness. It does come. It does come to you sometimes, does it not? Remember also that in a very short time, all of you, including me, what will happen, which we have already mentioned this morning, we will all die. We will all die. Will you picture yourself lying on the bed of sickness? Can you imagine yourself being propped up with pillows, for you can scarcely get your breath, And the physician has concluded and told you or even told your family members that there is nothing more they can do for you. It will be all over soon. There on your deathbed, you will bid goodbye to everyone in this world. For you must leave them. And then perhaps you can, if you can, look out of the window from your deathbed and see what you can see, all the surrounding of your old estate, for you are going to leave it all and not bringing it with you. And you have no home to dwell in forever. It is very dark. Money cannot help you now. The honors you have gained and achieved cannot help you now at that point when you are lying on your deathbed. The fondness of affection, friendship, which would help you if it could, cannot help you now. It is very dark. But worst of all, Jesus has not come to you. However, dear friends, if Jesus does not come to you, then what will you do? What will you do? To die in the dark is terrible. To live in the dark is more than terrible. But what must it be? To die in the dark and not to have Jesus with you. Think of this very carefully. While God gives you the time, the opportunity to think of this subject, think, reflect. May God deliver you. But if you will not have Jesus as your Savior in life, how can you expect to have Him in death? So may I urge you and I beseech you again and again. Flee to Him now, lest tomorrow you should see the picture which I have just sketched out and described to you, executed to the very life, and you will be the subject of it. But if it be dreadful to die without the Savior, think of this. What will it be to wake up in the unseen world without Him? I repeat, if it be dreadful to die without the Savior, without the Lord Jesus, what will it be to wake up in the unseen world without Him? And at the last, what will it be when the great trumpet sound to have no Savior to welcome you? But instead, you see what? You see Jesus far away, seated upon that great white throne as your judge. As your judge. What will it be to have no Jesus coming to help you when the earth is rocking and reeling and the heavens are on fire and then the books are open and the judge is dividing to the right and to the left, the sheep and the goats? You read this in the book of Revelation. And all the while, Jesus has not cast one glance of love at you or opened His lips to say one friendly word to you. Think of it. Think of it. At that time, at that moment, when you stand before Jesus as your judge, what will be your despair when at last it comes to your turn to hear the terrible words from the Lord Jesus? Depart, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. Therefore, dear friends, brethren, look to the Lord Jesus and live. Turn to Him while He may be found. Seek Him while He give you the opportunity, while the door to the ark is still open. Turn to Him. Turn to Him. Then, when it is dark, Jesus will come to you. Or rather, better still, Jesus will abide with you forever and ever, and you with Him. together in paradise. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Oh, gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, have mercy upon us. Oh, Lord, we confess that this issue, this subject, this matter of life and death, this matter of eternal life, we confess, Heavenly Father, that we have taken it for granted. We have not spent time meditating upon it, thinking about it, what it is to live a life without the Lord Jesus and to die without the Lord Jesus. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit will speak to our hearts and that you will help us to spend some time in this new week to reflect and to think, to slow down, to set aside a time to ponder about our life, the brevity of life, and also more importantly, is Christ my Savior? Oh, Father, I pray that your Spirit will speak to the hearts of every one of us, your children, including myself, and that, Lord, you may help us in this new week to rededicate and consecrate our lives to thee for those of us who are your children, that thou will help us to redeem the time, that we may walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, that you may help us and teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. O Lord, help us to take heed. And may your Spirit continue to strengthen us and enable us in this new week that we may live our lives for your glory and that we may make full use and good use of this new week that you have graciously given to us, that we may seize every opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus, to bring the gospel of the Lord Jesus to those who are perishing and dying around us. And we think of these two gentlemen who are every day sitting in the front door of our church in New Life BBC, London. Oh Lord, I commit to your care. May thou have mercy upon Lee and John and Sean and James, Lord, whom I meet every day at the gate, at the door. Oh, Father, have mercy upon them. May thou be gracious to deliver them from the bondage of sin, from the bondage of alcohol addiction and of substance addiction. Oh, Lord, may thou bring them. Only you, Lord, can work in their hearts to turn them, just as only you are able by your Spirit to turn that girl possessed by evil spirit in the book of Acts. O Lord, indeed, we pray that thou will be gracious and merciful, not only to them, but to us, your children too. We who have taken our salvation for granted, taken our Lord Jesus for granted. O Lord, have mercy. Awaken us from our spiritual slumber, for soon we have to stand before your bar. Hear this, our prayer, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.